You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. It is Thursday, February 14th, 2019, Valentine's Day. So a big shout out to everybody who's listening to this podcast on their Valentine's date. What could be more romantic than candlelight dinner and in the background, Locked On Jets podcast. Isn't that great? And it's a mailbag Thursday, not just any Locked On Jets podcast, a mailbag Thursday edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. I mean, what a perfect Valentine's Day. That is the recipe for success right there. So we will jump into our mailbag. These are, of course, questions from the comment section of gangrenenation.com. Each week we ask for questions. Each week we get a lot of great questions. So thanks to everybody who sent in something for me to answer. We could not do it without you. Let's jump on into our first question. And it deals with the possibility of the Jets trading down. With Joe Flacco going to Denver, which prospective teams might move up in the draft? Who seems possible, doubtful, or questionable to move up? And of course, the big story in the NFL on Wednesday was the trade of Joe Flacco, the Super Bowl champion quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, to the Denver Broncos. Of course, Flacco just has not really taken the next step in his game that a lot of us thought he would after he won that Super Bowl 6 years ago. He really has not developed into that premium quarterback. Now he's on his way to Denver as Lamar Jackson is officially handed the Ravens starting job. He kind of took it over near the end of the year. So the best way to answer this question is to kind of go through the draft order team by team and see which teams we think will draft a quarterback, which teams are questionable, and again, which teams probably not. So I think we have to start at the top, and I think what makes this a little tricky is Arizona and San Francisco are the two teams in front of the Jets. They are not going to be drafting a quarterback. I'm pretty solid on that. You know, there's this rumor about Arizona and taking Kyler Murray, and I just find it tough to believe. I think it all seems to be based on some comment Cliff Kingsbury made months ago before Kingsbury had the Arizona job and had Josh Rosen. And just the idea Arizona would give up on Rosen after 1 year when Kingsbury was pretty much hired to help develop Rosen, it just seems odd to me. And then the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo is coming back, and they're also bringing back a backup who played pretty well last year. So I don't see either of those teams taking a quarterback. So the question is, will they trade down and stockpile picks, or will they take one of the premium edge rushers on the board? If the Jets want to trade down, these teams could conceivably be impediments because they conceivably could trade down, and because since they own the top two picks and the Jets only own the third pick, their picks would be more attractive. So let's take a look. Oakland Raiders, I think that's questionable. I mean, it doesn't seem like Gruden is really all that sold on Carr. And the thing about Gruden is when you have a 10-year contract extension, you can rebuild the team in your own way. You are not beholden to anybody. This is not a typical situation. Typically, the franchise quarterback, the guy who's the incumbent franchise quarterback who has the big contract, has a lot of pull with the franchise. That's not really the case with Oakland because Gruden's going to be around for 10 years. Well, maybe not 10 years, but when you have that kind of contract, the owner's pretty much handed you the keys to do whatever you want. So Carr is not necessarily a lock to stay in Oakland. He's another guy who's just not grown the way we were hoping he would. Look past that. Tampa Bay, you'd have to think they'd be in the mix for a quarterback. You'd have to. Giants, again, I mean, look, I would have thought the Giants would have taken a quarterback last year, but they didn't. I think they're out of their mind. I thought they were out of their minds last year to not take a quarterback. I don't know why they didn't. You'd have to think they're taking a quarterback this year after bringing Eli back backfired. Jacksonville, yeah, I think we pretty much know they're in the market for a quarterback. Detroit, probably not. Buffalo, probably not. Denver, see, Denver's interesting. I'm not sure that Flacco necessarily takes them out of the mix for a quarterback, because as I understand it, Flacco's contract that Denver's inheriting is not necessarily a major commitment. So conceivably, they could still be in the mix for a quarterback, use Flacco as kind of their veteran bridge guy. Now, you would have thought the same thing about Case Keenum last year, and the Broncos did not draft a quarterback. So who the heck knows what Elway's thinking there. So, I mean, it's tough to answer. Cincinnati, I wouldn't be shocked to see them move on from Andy Dalton. I'm not sure that they're going to, though. Green Bay, obviously, that's an obvious no. Miami, 13. You'd think so. You'd think they're moving on from Ryan Tannehill, so you'd think they'd be in the mix for the quarterback, although there are rumors that they don't like this class and that they're really focused on the 2020 quarterback class. Atlanta, obviously not taking a quarterback. Washington, obviously, is in the mix for a quarterback because of the Alex Smith injury. Carolina's going to be a no. Cleveland's going to be a no. Minnesota, I'm sure they'd love to, but they can't. Tennessee, I would think, is sticking with Mariota. Steelers at 20, you know, they know they still have Ben, but, you know, Ben could retire any year. You know, they have to think of the future. I don't know that they're going to trade up, and I know they drafted Mason Rudolph last year, but I could not rule them out as a potential quarterback team. Seattle's a no. Baltimore's a no. Houston's a no. Philly's going to be a no. We already did Oakland. The Colts are a no. We already did Oakland again. They have three first-round picks. The Chargers, see, 28, they're at 28. That would be a heck of a jump to get if they could get up to three. I think the Chargers, you'd almost need a third team, or they'd need to acquire a higher pick than 28. With Phillip Rivers, though, possibly near the end of his career, you'd think, again, maybe it's possible. And then the last four are Kansas City, Green Bay, Los Angeles, and New England. Kansas City is obviously a no. Green Bay, we already talked about. The Rams are going to be a no since they have Goff. And New England at 32, first of all, probably, again, too far down. And second of all, the Jets aren't going to trade with New England. So that's obvious. So that one, that pretty much settles it. So I think we went through the full list of the first round right there. So that's a good idea. And, yeah, there are plenty of teams in the mix for a quarterback. And, you know, on paper, a lot of people don't think this is a great quarterback year, but sometimes paper doesn't play out the way you expect it would. I think of that class 2 years ago. You know, everybody thought that was a weak class. Heck, I thought it was a weak class. You got Mahomes, who's year two, throws 50 touchdown passes. You have Deshaun, who looks pretty good. And Trubisky, who I'm not as high on, but book's not written on him yet. They had multiple trade-ups in the first round for that class, who, again, a lot of people, even at the time, did not think was that great. So I don't think you can rule it out, and I think that there are plenty of quarterback-needy teams. I mean, it seems on paper like there's going to be a possibility for the Jets to move this pick. And again, like if you look at what Denver did, I'm not sure they're even out of the mix for a quarterback. I don't think it'd be wise for them to be out of the mix for a quarterback. That doesn't mean Denver's going to do something wise, but I don't think you can rule it out. Our next question, do you want to see this team on Hard Knocks this summer? Now, there was a report out of the Daily News this week that Hard Knocks wants the Jets, but the Jets do not want to be on Hard Knocks. And there are certain scenarios where the league cannot compel a team to be on Hard Knocks. There are three pieces of criteria. If the team hits one of the three pieces of criteria, the league cannot compel the team to be on Hard Knocks. And the Jets fit two of those pieces of criteria. One is they have a new coach, and two is they have appeared on Hard Knocks within the last decade. They, of course, were on the show in 2010. They were featured. It was probably the best season of Hard Knocks, a lot of people would say. There's all this talk about how, you know, it's a distraction. I don't really buy into that. Yeah, I want to see them on Hard Knocks. I want to see my favorite team chronicled. I want to see the inner workings of the team. I want to see this team train. I think it would be great. I would really enjoy it. I'd be disappointed if they turned it down. You know, people say you want to avoid distractions. Look, all these big personalities in the same room, it's either going to work or it's not going to work. And Hard Knocks is not going to move the needle one way or another. If Hard Knocks is the difference between the team having success and the team having failure, the team probably is destined for failure anyway. This documentary does not prevent teams from having good seasons. I mean, there are plenty of teams that have been on this show and have had good seasons. Heck, the best Jets team in the last two decades was the year they had Hard Knocks. And that was a team that documentary created plenty of distractions for that team. So, yeah, I would love to see the Jets on Hard Knocks. I hope they'll be on Hard Knocks. I'd love to see Sam Darnold. They'd chronicle Sam. Jamal Adams would be a star on Hard Knocks. It would be interesting. I just would love to see it. I just love to get as much information on this team as I can. I think it would be compelling TV. I think it would be really enjoyable. And HBO does a great job with the series. I'd be disappointed if the Jets were offered it and turned it down. I think Jets fans everywhere would really enjoy it. I don't think it would be something that would prevent them from winning games. You know, there are a number of teams have made the playoffs after doing Hard Knocks. And again, you know, you want to talk about distractions being created. Well, I guess, but I mean, are these distractions going to destroy your season? Is your team so fragile that being featured in a documentary is going to destroy your season? I have a tough time believing that. So, yes, I'd love to see that. Next question. Bart Scott said Old Meadowlands was great to play in because of how rowdy and loud the fans could get. So comparing MetLife to Old Meadowlands, which was the best stadium to watch a game as a fan? Well, take you back to something I said a few days ago. That was something my Uncle John, Uncle John B, we can call him, said to me. He said that, and this is something when we talk about the Jets, he always says this, and I think there's something to it. He said, the thing he liked about the old stadium was that no matter what seat you were sitting in, everybody went in the same entrance. And I think that that's symbolic in a way, because I think that and I guess it's something else I said recently is, I feel like modern stadiums are built to enhance the experience of the fans in the most expensive seats. Whereas I felt like old stadiums were built to maximize every fan's experience, where you were right on top of the action. These new stadiums are all about maximizing revenue, which means catering to the fans who are in the best seats, the luxury boxes, those areas. Whereas the regular fan, I think, is not given as good of an experience. These stadiums are bigger because they want to put as many places to sell stuff as possible, so that means that they're more spread out. It means you're not on top of the action, you're not as close to the field in most cases as you would be. And look, the best seats in MetLife are really nice. I go back years and years. You remember the year the Super Bowl was in MetLife Stadium? MetLife did a bunch of promotional stuff with my website, so I got a tour of the stadium, and like those boxes are very nice. Those boxes are really nice. You could definitely see the view. Now, I was not there for a game in those boxes, but they took me through those boxes, the really nice boxes that people pay top dollar for. A funny story about that is they say, some of those luxury boxes, you have to pay for every event in MetLife Stadium. So the good news is that that year you get the Super Bowl, since the Super Bowl's in MetLife Stadium. The bad news is that you're going to the Monster Truck Show in August. So, it's a very hit or miss experience, I get, from that standpoint. But those are really good seats. But at the same time, the guy sitting in the last row, I don't think I feel like he doesn't have as good of an experience as he did at the old stadium, or she. I really think that the teams, when they build these new stadiums, they're not thinking of just the regular fans. And a lot of fans are just priced out of it with the seats that, these even the cheap seats are pretty expensive these days. It's really tough to take a family to a game these days. And I understand the economics of it. I understand the Jets football's a business. And the Jets do other things. I'll give them the Jets credit because they've opened training camp up to the fans. They do a movie night every year. They do things to give fans access who, maybe can't afford to go to games. But I think it's unfortunate that regular families are kind of being priced out of games, and that's what happens in these new stadiums. Again, there was one game I was at the Coaches Club, which is right on the field, and it's really nice. You feel like you're right on top of the action, and they have all these catered stations and the food's for free, which is great. But I've also sat in regular seats, and they haven't been as great. Now, I think that the old Giants Stadium. The old stadium was called Giant Stadium. It was not a good experience for the Jets because the Jets were playing in Giant Stadium. They were tenants with the Giants. It's not like the current arrangement where they are partners. They're equal partners. It's just as much the Jets' home as it is the Giants' home at MetLife Stadium. So that's a good thing for the Jets. But I think in terms of the game experience, I would probably go with the old stadium. I'm not even sure the old stadium was that great. Now, I was not old enough to remember the Shea Stadium days, but my dad was a season ticket holder at Shea Stadium, and he tells me great stories. He tells me stories about some of the ridiculous characters who sat near his section, people he got to know who were just crazy fans. And just some of the great moments there. So, I think probably the older the stadium with the Jets, the better. Probably, I would imagine Shea, just based on, I never saw a game in Shea, but I would imagine that was the best of all the Jets experiences. And the current one has some good things to it, but I think, again, the regular fan, it's not as good of an experience there. Locked On Jets mailbag Thursday, Valentine's Day. Which option would you rather see happen for the Jets? Be like the Giants and then win the Super Bowl followed by missing the playoffs the next 5 to 6 years, or being like the Bengals, Cowboys, or Texans, where you make the playoffs but have no conference title game appearances? Well, for me, that one's easy. Look, the name of the game is winning a championship. If you make the playoffs and you fall short, it's disappointing. I'd rather win one championship than miss the playoffs a bunch. That's what you want to see. I mean, I've seen plenty of Jets teams make the playoffs and lose in the second round. We've seen the Jets lose in the conference championship game, you know, four times since their last Super Bowl, and twice recently. And, you know, then you go back to 98, the Denver game, and then the Mud Bowl in Miami. I mean, the Jets have been to the conference title game plenty of times, and they've lost before the conference title game plenty of times. I've seen enough of those. The one thing I haven't seen from the Jets is a Super Bowl. I want a Super Bowl win. I mean, I think that's the reason you watch the team. You want to see the team eventually put it all together and appear on football's biggest stage and win on football's biggest stage. And I would gladly, you know, if you're telling me right now the deal is you get a Super Bowl championship and then you miss the playoffs six straight years, I'm signing up for that right now. I mean, I don't know if you would. I think you should. I definitely would.
Our next question, what's your best-case draft day scenario for the number three pick? Who would you want to trade down with, and what would you want in return? So I looked through this, and I think my answer, and I think some people are going to disagree with it because of how far down it would be going, but in terms of realistic trade-down options, which we talked about, I'd have my eye on number 15 with Washington, because Washington needs a quarterback. Here's why. My priority right now for the Jets would be to get back into this year's second round. You know, they traded this year's second round pick to the Colts to get the Sam Darnold pick, which was a necessary move, but you want to have a second round pick. I also would like a number one pick from next year. So if you're looking at where we're at in terms of value, I think that that's the type of spot where the Jets might be able to recoup that and more. I think, you know, they'd be in position to get a first round pick next year, a second round pick this year, and more. I mean, maybe we're talking about another second round pick. Maybe we're talking about a few picks, you know, early day three, something like that. But I like that. So that's the compensation I want, and that's kind of the area where I think you could recoup a number of draft picks, and I think that's what the Jets need to do. I also like, and this is not something that would determine whether I'd make a trade or not, but I like the idea that I'm sending him out of the conference, you know, for the top quarterback. If it's the top quarterback in this year's class, now I'm making sure this guy's in the NFC. Now, I'm not going to shy away from trading with an AFC team if it's the right deal, but all things equal, it's nice to send the guy to the NFC. And then also there's just the fact that I think once you get to 15, you're in a spot where maybe the value lines up to address the offensive line. So I know a lot of people say that's too far to drop back, but I think the Jets really need to focus on stockpiling picks. So the further you get back, the more you can receive in a trade. So that I think that's probably, if we're talking ideal world, it's not necessarily the only trade I'd make. And I would not be against trading back more than once in the first round this year, just because, again, I think the Jets really need to stockpile picks. Next question. Going into 2018, it was clear that Jeremy Bates wanted to run more two and three tight end sets and that the Jets would run more zone blocking schemes. How would you evaluate McCagnan's ability to adjust the roster last year to address those offensive changes? Well, I mean, I think the record speaks for itself. He had Eric Tomlinson out there. As you said, Bates loves to put multiple tight ends on the field. How many snaps did Eric Tomlinson get for the Jets last year? And I get that Neil Sterling was hurt a bunch, but I'm not sure how much Neil Sterling would have produced anyway. And then, I mean, I don't care what scheme you're running, that offensive line just wasn't good enough. So I think that record speaks for itself. I think, you know, I've certainly said a lot about the job I think McCagnan's doing. I don't think it's been good on a number of different levels. Next question, with new offensive and defensive schemes in 2019, are there any players you would like to see McCagnan trade before they struggle in new systems? Well, you know, I go back to just the current state of the roster, and I don't think that trading away productive players is the luxury the Jets have right now. And, I mean, the other thing I'm going to say is, if we're talking the defensive side of the ball, Greg Williams is a guy who... Greg Williams will tell you how good he is. And one of the reasons Greg Williams thinks Greg Williams is good is because Greg Williams can adapt. Greg Williams will tell you Greg Williams can adapt. And I know I'm saying the name Greg Williams a lot. Hopefully it's kind of funny. But Greg Williams will always tell you, like, I've got the ability to run any kind of defense I want. I know how to run a 4-3. I know how to run a 3-4. So I think he should be able to adapt to any defensive players the Jets have. And I think that that's, again, I just can't trade any talented players off this team. I think that the Jets need more talent. They don't need to decrease their talent level. So I think anybody who plays effectively, isn't the whole point of getting Greg Williams is that Greg Williams is going to maximize what you have? So I think on the defensive side of the ball, you know, that's where I'd go. And then the offensive side of the ball, I mean, is there any talent of which to speak? I mean, I think the talented players on offense, any offensive coach ought to be able to figure out a way to utilize them, whether it's, you know, Anderson as a deep threat, Inunua. Hopefully Inunua is used better. I think Inunua is a guy who was not used effectively by the old coaching staff. So I'm hoping that he's used in a better way. But I mean, I think Adam Gase should be able to figure out how to use him. And outside of that, I mean, I'm struggling to come at Herndon. I mean, look, a productive tight end will work in any scheme. And outside of that, who are the, I don't even know that there are many productive players left. I don't know that there are many players I'd want to keep going forward on offense. And Sam, you know, Sam's going to stay. I mean, the whole point of hiring Gase, I think the rationale the Jets gave for hiring Gase is he's going to help Sam's development. So, I mean, outside of those guys, I'm not coming up with many offensive guys who, A, I think are priority players, or B, have trade value. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow.